will see in the numbers, we were also advised by the people that put in the quotes for us. They told us this price is good for 30 days, so by the time they give this grant out, the price is probably going to go up. So if you are doing the math on the numbers, they are a little bit higher than the price we were quoted, just to take into account inflation that everybody knows is skyrocketing monthly. So that's the difference in why you're saying 600 and why is it 475 and 175. It's because of some extra. They're not expecting the grant to be approved or us notified until September if we're awarded. So at that point, once it's awarded, we're even probably October, because the government's usually a little bit slow with even the award. So they say September, it's been October, November before we can actually order it. And then once we're ordered, we're locked in, and it's a minimum 1 year to get the boat. So we wouldn't even see it next summer. It would be the summer after that. And the boat manufacturer is Lake Assault Boats out of Wisconsin. And then as far as the grant writer part application goes, the city's contracted group, the LeBerge group, they were very honest and didn't have time to do this because of the very quick turnaround. They recommended the GMG grant writers, the municipal consulting grant writers, who actually LeBerge actually contracts with to do stuff when they don't have the time. They just couldn't get involved with this one for us, so that's why we had to look for another grant writer. That's that part. I'll go a little quick if anybody's got any questions.
Council members, questions?
What was the total cost of the boat again? What was it?
It was $599,600, so just under $600,000, which would make our 25% $150,000 if that was the quote, if that was the price didn't change. Like I said, I added a little bit extra, $25,000 on both sides for rising costs, because we're looking at almost 5 months before we get a decision if it's approved or not.
Outside of the cost for the grant writing, is the city liable for any payments to either the manufacturer or anything else?
That would be covered by the grant. It might be, I think it's in one of the resolutions, we may have to put the money out ahead of time and then be reimbursed by the grant, okay, which is normally how the federal grants work.
Yeah. It is. It's a reimbursement grant. The grant writing fee will be written into the grant, so if we are awarded, you'll get that money back.
Okay.
And then there's also another part of the grant that adds for training and fuel and different things like that. Wire out training, which is not a match. I think it's up to $25,000. That the grant would cover on top of the already stated number for fuel, training, and different things like that. So that's
a different grant.
No, it's part of the same grant, but it's not. It just gets written into the grant and doesn't matter on the number because it's outside of what the city would be responsible for. It's like non-reimbursed, no cost to us, part of the grant.
So just so I have an overall financial picture, the only thing, if we go after this and are not awarded, the only thing we are liable for is the grant writing expense.
Correct? That's correct.
And then, provided we're awarded the contract,
yes,
we're responsible for up to $175,000 for the match,
yes,
whatever part of the grant.
25%.
25%. Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you for clarifying. I got all of these today.
So. I paused over the weekend once we got all the money for the quotes.
No, absolutely. I understand the need to be
other questions from that. And by the way, Nick did send me this yesterday, but there was no way to post it ahead of time. So we got it out there first thing this morning. Any other questions from council members? Okay, let's start with resolution number two. authorizing the fire department to contract for the grant writing. Can I have an introduction? Lyon, Dewan, second. A roll call vote, please. Tracy?
Councilmember Anthony?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Roney? Are you?
Aye.
Okay.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
So, next resolution is number one, authorizes them to apply for the grant. Can I have an introduction and a second? So, Ryan and Dewan. And then, when you're ready, a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
And lastly, authorizing a loan should they get the grant. Ryan, second?
I'll second.
Arthur? Art? A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
Gentlemen, you're done.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, moving on to the proposed local laws. I want to change the order of these two because one I think is simple, the second one. And we need a motion and a second to approve the local law that amends the date for redistricting of the wards. This changes it from July to December, giving us more time each time this happens.
A move to December?
Yeah.
So I have a question on this before we vote on it.
Okay. Well, hold on. Introduction. Introduction and a second. Okay, questions.
Is Crystal on?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
So, Crystal, one of the things that you and I was trying to look at these dates, in the event that we have to change the boundaries, the referendum piece has to occur in November of a year where we're changing. I sent you an email on this. So I'm a little confused about the fact that in the event that we are changing boundaries, we have to have a referendum in November. The deadline this year for that is August. So how does the December date fit in with that August deadline?
So what I was looking at here was there was a lot of discussion also about possibly amending the charter in the future as well to get rid of the referendum. If that was the case, the December deadline would work with that. But either way, it just adds a little bit more time. So you've got a July 1st deadline right now, which there doesn't seem to be any real rhyme or reason to that July 1st deadline. If there's going to be a referendum as of right now, that would have to be sent over to the Board of Elections by August 1st. It would not, you know, the referendum would be in November, it wouldn't go in effect until January. So this would just essentially, the December deadline that I put in there, essentially just buys the council a little bit more time during this period to figure out how it wants to move forward. Obviously, the council doesn't necessarily need to or may not want to wait until that December 31st deadline. There may be very good reasons to do it ahead of time, whether there's a referendum required 10 years from now or there's not a referendum required 10 years from now. So I was just trying to give the council a little bit more leeway as it was going through the process.
That makes sense. But in the event that in a year, let's assume a referendum is needed. And let's assume changes are going to be made. In order to meet that referendum deadline, We would have to actually be acting on this before the August date, so that we would have a referendum in place in November. In any year that we are doing this for the upcoming, it wouldn't take effect until the next cycle, but in any year that we were doing this, we would have to have abide by that referendum date, if there's a referendum.
Generally, you would work for it. The only thing that I would caution you on is that, as we've seen in the last few years, there's also been a lot of amendments to the election law as well, which is also why I figured this buys some more time, because it also will account for, at least if there's changes to those dates in the election law,
yeah,
it allows for that to be accommodated for as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That makes sense.
Any other questions? Comments? A roll call vote, please.
Specifically about changing the date, right?
Yeah, it's just about changing the date.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Frick.
I'll abstain.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Saar?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay. The other law, please, Shaheen. Okay, there's been a lot of commentary about this one. I'm not sure what we want to do today about this, because we still don't have a lot of the information that's been requested both by council members and the public.
So can we just motion to table? Or motion to delay?
We could do that.
Second.
Sorry, what did you say, Ron?
Motion to delay.
Table.
It remains on the table if we don't call it.
Oh, it means that we don't even have to put it forward.
If we don't take the motions.
If we don't have an introduction in a second.
Perfect.
So, we can discuss it, though.
No, we need to discuss it at the point.
So, there's no enthusiasm for moving this forward tonight, is what I'm gathering. What will we need to do to move this forward in the near future? Anyone?
If I could just break the ice real quick.
Sure.
I think that there's like a lot of people who all want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the issue on the table of lease change to the
mm-hmm.
redistricting was a really unanimously popular decision. Mm-hmm. I think that the concerns that I've heard that I also resonate with is that I think that there's, you know, maybe some more communication that can be done. And I think that even if this information is available and transparent, something that we all agreed upon, and, you know, we went around the room introducing ourselves, saying what our top priorities were, you know, both transparency and legibility to the public. And I think that especially when it comes to issues that are as sensitive around redistricting and making maps, it's something that really, like, the responsibilities on the government, I think, to, you know, really have a clear message in signaling what we're doing here. And it's kind of always a bad sign in a conversation where it's like you start arguing about how you're having the conversation versus like what's actually at stake. And so I think that we've reached that point, and maybe it's a good time to sort of take a step back and say, like, we're all doing a lot of work on it. And Margaret, you've done so much work with the census stuff. I really appreciate it. And I think that, you know, also maybe we owe it to the public to have a very clear list of addresses that would be affected, and if there's any way that, you know, me personally, and also the council, can step up to help you with that, I think that that would be a really, you know, good
move forward. Well, I know that Crystal has been in touch with the city and trying to get those addresses. I do not have those addresses,
yeah,
and I do not have any database or source where I could reliably get them.
Yeah.
It's not a question of walking around and writing down addresses,
yeah,
because, as I was saying to Crystal, there could be a 24B that I'm not aware of.
Yeah,
definitely. Right, so you have to get an official list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can do that, but I think it has been every document that has been discussed, everything has been put on the city website,
mm-hmm.
Everything has been out there, nothing has occurred out of the public eye. So I did, the blocks are very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You can see from the original map exactly which two blocks are involved, where they're moving to, and many people are removed. detailed analysis of the demographics of the, you know, the before and after wards from 2020 census. So I'm not really sure how much more communication is really needed here. I'm fine with if we need to wait on it, that's fine. And we just need to realize that if we are required to make a change, and Chris will correct me if I'm wrong, if we're required to make a change and we do not act on this in a timely fashion, we're going to be in violation of the law.
Yeah.
And that's a concern, which is why we were having this formal this special meeting, so that we could have this to the mayor's office for 30 days for review and discussion and so forth before it gets approved, because we have the August deadline with the referendum.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's all I'm saying.
It's sorry, you got.
Was I done talking?
Yes.
Never, but go ahead.
Regardless, I'll just go ahead and interrupt. It's my understanding, and based off of the correspondence that I've read, is that the chief issue is that the public has no knowledge of the exact addresses being affected by the least change, correct?
That's correct. Nobody has those addresses.
That's one of
We know exactly which blocks, the boundaries, the streets, whether it's the north side, west, we know exactly which blocks are involved.
There was also a question of how the data was processed. We're seeing the end of the process of the data, not exactly how that was done.
I'm sorry, can you speak up a little?
Oh, the other question was about the data, that we are seeing the end of it, but not what apparently Steve Dunn did to get to that, what
no,
we're seeing
actually,
right now.
Actually, that's not correct.
Really?
Steve Dunn in February gave a presentation here around an application with various scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
We all had access to that application.
Mm-hmm.
I went in and signed up for an account, became a user of that account, looked in detail at everything that was behind it, looked at all of the demographic data that I produced came from that DRA application. It has all of the demographics. I did all of that directly. So this is not something that Steve Dunn did. All he did was make a presentation paper.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we worked on it. The other thing I did was, Crystal responded to that comment about delegation. I think, Tom, you responded to Crystal. The other thing that I did was verify. I had a link to a U.S. government census database. It doesn't give you the same detail that the DRA one has, and it's not really an app that you can play with in the way you can with the DRA one. But I also went back and verified the exact blocks and mapping and everything against the U.S. government document. I also sent that link to Crystal. So there's, you know, a lot of verifying and making
and I hope that nothing is
to
verification process. I think that it's actually to our strength to have a better communication of not only the database and also like the methods of verification, so that it doesn't. So ultimately, it's easier on you and all of us. That you're not the only one doing the number crunching, and that we could release the data to the public and let them.
Yeah.
Run their own scenarios in the way that Steve Dunn did as well, but I think there is a very clear difference between giving someone access to a website and saying it's from the 2020 census, assuming a certain barrier to entry to that data, and then versus just releasing a list with the affected addresses, which is the question.
Right, that's right. I get the address thing. I think we can get that from the city.
Yeah,
I'm
I
sure,
think that would go
or from the post office, but. The links to the application are available to the public.
Right.
Anybody, it's a free application. Anybody can go in and learn how to use it and sign up for an account and look at anything that they want. And it's all completely, it's out there. It's not under a rock.
It's not under a rock, but I think in the interest of transparency, it should be made apparent to everyone. I mean, You're saying go do the work. That's not really how this should...
That's not what I'm saying, Tom.
We just said we should go use the application and go in.
We presented everything in committee and to the public. And if somebody wants to go and, you know, the links are there to the application. If somebody wants to go and look that up and do further research on it, they can do that. But everything was presented.
What they're trying to do is recreate the process that got to that end point. And you're saying to people to do it themselves. That's not really, to me, a very open process. Putting that aside, the major issue has often has obviously been the addresses as well. But council members, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Margaret did a good job, but the thing is, we are actually looking for the address, physical address.
Yeah.
You know, what? Yeah. Which address has been changed? You know, that's the information actually we try to get.
And we have to get those addresses, and we also
but
have
say
to notify.
But you don't have the information. You say we have to get it from the post office.
Well, I have to get it.
Crystal
has reached out to a couple. Crystal, I don't know if you want to speak to this. You've reached out to a couple of people to try to get that information.
I did. I reached out to the BOE, which does not have that information because it doesn't do anything by census block. But I also reached out to Tracy with the city, and she said that she just has to check to see if she still has access to the census, the federal census website. She has a login for it, and if she does, she may be able to pull the addresses from there directly. So she was going to go and look for that. She just wasn't going to be able to pull that information together or even get that answer for the council tonight.
And I mentioned the post office only because that seems to me as another possible official source. If you were to say, I want every address that you've got on the south side of Union between 7th and Worth. I want everything on Worth between 7th and Warren and so forth.
Yep.
I think that they probably would be able to give us an official list of addresses.
I agree.
Council members.
Can I just ask
who's
I
that?
Have a
go ahead, Dominic.
So I think getting the information, you know, the address is great. So moving forward, we get the information. Then what is the recommendation to do?
Don't get the
label. The question is, what do we do with that information other than publish it and make it part of it?
We need to make a decision about what changes, if any, we're going to make to the board.
I think.
I mean, we can do our. I mean, I think it's up to us to do our due diligence in this, and I think maybe, depending on the time frame, is those affected wards maybe having some kind of, you know, meeting, you know, and contacting the individuals that are going to be and have their thoughts, you know, in the ward that is being affected.
That's certainly a possibility if we want to do that.
I think also, though, Dominic, the purpose of the referendum is that people get to say yay or nay on whether or not this is something that they want. At the end of the day, it's a decision. Because of the referendum rule, it's a decision made by people.
But wouldn't it be a safer bet to run it through public discourse first and play something up?
And anybody is welcome to come to any of these meetings, their public meetings.
Because if we fail the referendum in the fall, then we're in a bind.
I'm sorry, you're saying if...
I'm saying that if we just go ahead with what we have right now and don't get the feedback, then there is opposition to what we have on the table, and people then fail the referendum,
yes,
and then we're in a legal bind, versus right now we take like another couple weeks and then lay it before the mayor.
Well, that was something that I had brought up in one of the last meetings, because I was going down the various scenarios, and I think you actually made a joke about it. Somebody did. I like to line out what would happen in this scenario, what would happen in that scenario. And Crystal, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that if we do what we are required to do, we come up with a proposal and the people vote it down, then the city has done what it was supposed to do under the law. And the fact that the people voted it down, I think, puts us, I don't think it would be a good thing,
yeah,
but I don't think we're quite in a bind, as you say, because we've done what we were supposed to do.
Yeah. It's just more time later on when we can just solve this problem right now, right?
Yes, and truthfully, even if we miss the July 1st deadline, I don't think it'll be a huge problem. As I think I forget who said it, but someone pointed out, who's going to, you know, challenge it? Who's going to sue us for this? No one.
Margaret, I just found it, but that's on the website.
Sorry.
I just found a website that will literally give you every single street address. So
oh, excellent.
The new third ward would start
7, right?
No, it's 5th Street. Comes over from 5th now and goes up Union on the north side. So that would end up being, not considering those that were 5th Street, it's 504, 510, 534, 538, 542, 544,
are you,
584, et cetera, all the way up.
Are you looking at the block?
Yeah.
The districting
the
block.
The districting block.
Cool.
The actual
cool.
street numbers.
Alright.
Here we go. So maybe we'll get this. Maybe we'll get this done sooner than we hope.
Something we would have to make sure with Orion is that that's accurate.
You can take down to the post office and just say,
right.
can you verify these addresses
right.
as such?
We have to have
your GIS mapping.
We would have
back
to verify.
To initial project and
because that's to the point that if you have a building that's now a two-family building or something, it might not show up on that. So we would have to make sure that we'd be
they'll able to tell you if there's
514A,
514B, et cetera, or whatnot, but you have the actual physical number of locations, and you can just zoom in this map. So we can email this to the council.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a GIS overlay of the map? World Postal Code lookup map. Basically, you go in via zip code, and then it overlays with GIS onto the actual website.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Solutions.
Any further comments from council
Always.
Members?
But that solves like one half of the problem. Right?
That's
all.
Yeah.
Right. The other half is, well, I, as Joe Public, want to recreate this exact thing that we're calling least change. Right. So what do we think as a council is the best way to enable a member of the public to come up with their own version of least change and independently verify that it's our same version as least change, right? That's the question.
If they have the link, which is in, it's out in public, it's actually on the city's website, all they have to do is go in, create themselves a user account, learn how to use the application, and then they can recreate whatever they want.
I don't think
we can do webinars and seminars for everybody to learn how to use this application. If somebody wants to use it and they call me up and they want help or whatever, I'll be happy to show them. But I don't think it's our responsibility to go out and teach everybody how to use this application.
Is it something HDBC will partner with us on to do as well?
Are you asking me? I would have to ask the committee.
Yeah,
because I don't make decisions, but I definitely think that this is an educational opportunity and also appreciate the transparency by the Common Council to educate the public about this process in a really clear and transparent way with full release of all of the data that goes into underlying decisions being made. So, of course, I'll take it to the committee and ask them if they would be willing to help facilitate.
Yeah, and I don't think that there was... I don't know, like, if I would have been in your shoes, I don't think I would have done anything different. Right, like I feel a little bit like Councilmember Morris is being raked over the coals here.
Oh, I'm Commander.
I'm just Archie. I'm very sensitive to Margaret.
She was born in
fire. I understand she was. She's Irish.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, we go into these willing to like try to do the best and most obvious thing, right? And Margaret's literally saying, "Here's the tool. Create an account and do it." Like, I think that we can 100% partner with whomever for everyone to come up with the same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
If I may participate
sure.
in the conversation.
Sure.
So, you know, my recommendation to the council would actually be just to do a presentation and say, this is the data,
yeah.
this is the website, invite the public, like, actually reach out to the public and say, please come to this meeting, we really want to tell you how we're changing these lines. It's actually minimal.
Yeah.
Had the HDBC gotten the data that we asked for, we probably would have been like, awesome, good job. But we didn't get any of it.
Right.
So I think that's really the issue that's at stake. So I would recommend that it's a learning opportunity for the council to really engage the public.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Verity has her hand up.
Hi, thank you. And thank you to the council members, Theo, Duan, Dominic, Ryan, and Art, who have expressed their wish to try to, you know, educate the public a little better, get more information out there. I really appreciate it. Just to echo Kate, that is what we on the HCPC have been asking for all along, you know, in good faith. We simply wanted to have a very transparent kind of detailed reproduction of the steps that were gone through. So Margaret, for example, stated that she went back and found a link to the census database and reproduced and verified Steve's results, and that she sent that link to Crystal. Well, I asked repeatedly to please include the exact link, and we never received that. And to have that together in one place with a link to the application and then a description of here are the steps we use in linking this data in this application, you know, and then the results of that. That would be, you know, for the whole public, some explanatory thing, rather than asking the public to dig back into the documents from the February legal committee meeting, assuming everyone in the general public even knows this is an issue. I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. So we on the Hudson Dems really came into this hoping that this would be readily verifiable as a good result, and that we could help you educate the public and promote, and you know, the results of this. But instead, we haven't been able to do that, and so I appreciate any effort to share in a transparent way with the full public as much information as possible so that, you know, an educated layperson could reproduce the results without having to go and reinvent the wheel themselves. You know, that's what we're asking. We really appreciate it. And additionally, we also did ask for a better map that actually showed the changes in a legible way, you know, street to street, or, you know, or interacted with addresses. We've asked for that a few times, and we've been told repeatedly that we would get the addresses, we would get a map that it was being worked on, and we haven't yet. So I'm really hopeful that we will get those things soon, and we can all kind of say that these are good results and move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Verity. I think a map will be probably the easiest thing to come up with. Dorothy Heil has her hand up.
Hi, yeah, I mean, I just want to repeat what Barry and Kate said about proper presentation of a 10-year plan to the public. I mean, the way that I come to understand it, if I dig back into the legal committee exhibits from a February meeting, there's a map called Least Change Map. And I think what it shows is two little areas that will move from one ward to another ward. And one of those areas is on the south side of Union Street. And one of those areas is, I guess, Warren Street. But it seems like the simplest thing in the world just to tell the public who lives in those little blocks that are gonna be moving. I mean, it might sound technical. I mean, I think that some people here are saying, you know, everybody did a great job, you know, who cares about addresses? But the fact is, I mean, is there a councilman in this room who would be moved to a different ward because of these line changes?
Yes.
There is.
Okay.
Nobody is saying who cares.
Well, Margaret, we asked you for these addresses for 2 weeks and you never gave them to us.
Okay, okay.
You told us we could get them from the B of E. But the B of E told the lawyer Crystal that they don't even have the census blocks.
Actually,
so I don't think our request for addresses was
okay. Thank you. Next, anybody else?
Okay,
Verity, just one more time, okay? You're muted.
Yeah, no problem. Dot, I just want to follow up on Dot's question that wasn't answered. Dot asked, is any seated elected official being moved? Do we even know that?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Art?
So, yes?
Yes. But it won't matter. I
so
mean,
we do know that an elected official is being moved.
Yes.
Correct. We knew that from the get-go, yes.
Okay, well, we didn't know that. The public didn't know that.
Okay.
And that's the kind of information that if the public had more information, they might be interested in.
Yeah.
So thank you for now sharing that information.
Well, it was...
That actually was pointed out in the... I know you weren't the president, but that was pointed out frequently in the early meetings. But I get your point totally.
Formally welcomed our third ward.
Okay, well, thank you all.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for answering our questions.
Okay, council member wants to talk. Ronnie.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to sum everything up here. As a councilman, I think all of us are very thankful that this proposal was actually looked at very seriously and mandated. And other members of the council took the information that we have access to and anyone has access to, and we really did make our best effort to make the least change possible. And I think it's actually a good thing that we did it in the absence of knowing which exact house or which exact address is being affected, because that makes us impartial. We're not thinking about replacing this house on this side of the street, this house on this block. I think that's actually a good thing that we didn't look at that. Sure, you guys are requesting it, and we're working on it. It's not something that was flippantly disregarded. It's something that Margaret has presented us why it's taken so long. It's, you know, it's not an information that's readily available in any sense of the word. So I think I just need to step back, and it's not a process where we took decisions in this closed forum. Everything was discussed in open meetings. So for someone to say that we didn't even know that there was a council member that was being affected by this, it was discussed, like Tom is saying, that it was discussed in an open meeting in a public forum. You know, if people are interested in these things, then they have to either go back or be present for those meetings. It's not something, you know,
okay.
It's not information that we've been trying to hide in any way. So I just want to say that, in my opinion, it's actually a good thing that we didn't, zero down on the addresses. We looked at a big picture where it's going to be the least change to the voting public and the shape of the words. And I just wanted to reiterate that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments?
So in terms of path forward, it seems like the wheels are in motion in terms of getting the list of addresses affected. The formal list of addresses affected.
Yes.
So that's in place.
Yeah.
I think we can pretty quickly
get this done.
Get this done in terms of presenting to the public the affected addresses, as well as the pathway to recreate the data.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a pretty straightforward situation. What my outstanding question is there any obscene legal liability that we're exposing ourselves to by punting on this until we go through this process?
Well, first of all, I think we can get this process done pretty expeditiously.
Yeah.
A. B, I'm not a lawyer, and I'll defer to Chris on this, but I think it was actually Steve Dunn who pointed out there's no one's really affected negatively by us not getting this done on July 1st. No one. So no one's likely to do anything. It's not like there's a... this is... July 1st, by the way, is our law. It's not the state law. So who are we going to do? Sue ourselves? No. So we don't need to be in a panic about that. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Yes?
Maybe this is just... just to subdivide that moving forward, pointing into more... What... If we do, so we're going to release these addresses,
mm-hmm.
and release this point of least possible change. If there are multiple proposals for least possible change, what is the procedure then?
Ooh, we pick one.
We pick one based on a presentation. I mean,
yeah.
What is the protocol? Like, do we?
Yeah, I would assume
do we.
Well, I think the legal committee already put forth their favorite one, but yeah, if you want to retract it and do another one, you'd have to.
No, so we do that. Someone says, okay, we agree with least possible change, but we'll do this block instead of this block.
Yeah.
You know, do we vote on that?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, Tom.
Yes,
Margaret. On another unrelated topic, are we finished with this topic?
Well, it's a special meeting. We can't talk unrelated topics.
I have a statement that I want to make.
Sure. Is it about this?
It's about the last meeting.
No, that's not a lot. The only way you can add to a special meeting is if the entire body is here. Sorry. I mean, unless it's about the fire resolutions or this laws, the two laws we've been discussing. You can certainly make the statement at our informal, which is June, whatever.
11th.
Second. All those in favor of adjourning, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Meeting is over. Thank you all. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, HCDC.
Yeah, of course. Anything you can do to help.
Yeah, get a new treasurer.